All right, the title of the message is, maybe before I get the title, you're going to see the piece of paper in a second anyway, so it doesn't matter. But this is a time of year to look in the mirror. In fact, I have to turn in an article to the paper, so if you get the Daily Tribune next weekend, I'm going to focus that article around looking in the mirror. But, you know, when I look in the mirror, I don't know how many of you look in the mirror and just love what you see. Let's be honest. Most of the time, we're pretty critical. And we see a little bit more weight. Talk about that word more. I told you it's in my spirit. I see more weight. I see more gray in my hair. I see more wrinkles on my face. There's just more of me to see. And so we look at those kind of things. And I'm talking in a physical sense, but really in a personal sense. As we're working on ourselves, you know, it really is a time to reflect. And you know, I hope it's not the only time we reflect. I believe in continual self-inventory, self-evaluation, walking with the Lord. But come on, we have to at least use the calendar and the season as an opportunity to ask some of those questions. And more importantly, listen for those answers. And so we're going to take a look at ourselves. And I have a piece of paper here. It really, for the next 2 weeks, I'm really just going to preach on one verse, all right? But 2 weeks, one verse. This week is called Bring On the Increase. Bring on the increase. I like that. See, my spirit grabs onto that. Bring on the increase. And next week, we're going to talk about bring on the favor. See, I like that word too. Bring on the favor. So hopefully that will whet your appetite and you'll come back and all of those wonderful things. But bring on the increase. The verse we're going to look at, and you know, part of me is just thinking as I was reading through the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, it's this one verse in verse 52, Luke 2:52, the last verse in the book of Luke. And it's right there on the top of your paper. But I'll put up on the screen. Let's pick up a little bit in verse 49. You'll remember we see Jesus going into the temple as a little baby, and then the next time we see him is at 12 years old, going back to the temple, and remember he astounded all of the scholars and everybody that was there with his wisdom, and when they had left him there for 3 days, and then they came back and found him. So this kind of at the end of that, Jesus says to them, "Why were you searching for me?" asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" I kind of like the King James where it says, be about my Father's business. You know, the importance of Jesus setting priority, the importance of being with God, being working for God. That'll preach all by itself, but that's not what I'm preaching. Verse 50, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Kids, teens that are left in here, that's important. Jesus was obedient to his parents. But his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And then verse 52, here's the verse that will propel us for the next 2 weeks as we close out 1 year and come into a new year. It says, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So, the King James, as you have on your piece of paper, uses the word increase. He increased in wisdom and stature. I could throw it up in the message just for a little different flavor to it. What does that say? And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. So just some different words to look at. In fact, that word increased, which is our main word for this week, you'll see it's translated grew in the NIV. The best translation, maybe a literal translation of that, is kept advancing. I like that. Mm-hmm. Kept advancing. Think about it. These are the missing years of Jesus. The next time, when we get to chapter 3 that we see Jesus, he's 30 years old, getting baptized by John the Baptist and starting his ministry. We're talking 18 years of his life. We're talking a majority of the life of Jesus is summarized in this one verse. You ever thought about it that way? A majority of his life is that he kept advancing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Is that a picture of our, that may that be the summary of our lives, of the years as they go by, that we increased, that we kept advancing in wisdom and stature. And we're going to go through and define wisdom and stature a little bit and kind of break that down a little bit, what that might look like for our lives. But there's the idea. There's the draw that I want to get upon your spirit. Bring on the increase. I want to be better than I've been before. I want more than before. I got to have something that rhymes, right? Somebody say that with me. More than before. More than before. See, I could be a cheerleader. It's just not very flexible. Man. But, you know, the summary of 18 years, a majority of the life of Jesus in one verse, that he increased and he grew in favor. So next week when we talk about, we'll look at relationally. We'll look at, obviously, God's call upon our lives is to love God and to love others, right? We know that. And so next week, obviously, Jesus grew in those areas, right? And he grew relationally with God, and he grew relationally with others, and that's important for us to look at. And so next week we'll look at it. But this week's really all about looking in the mirror. It's all about looking at me. I heard a joke from a comedian, Ken Davis. I don't know if you've ever heard him, but I like comedians, and so you know, most of the worldly comedians are just trash, so I do like to find, you know, good Christian comedians. Good old Bill Cosby. I like some of those routines and listening to those. But he talks about going to the doctor and getting his body fat percentage figured out. I don't know if you've ever done that, but there's now they do these electronic things that supposedly do it right. But to get a real measurement, there's really two main ways that they do it. One of them is like they do different clips on your body, and then they measure how much they can grab by these clips, and they add up all of the inches, and somehow mathematically they can come up with a body fat percentage, how much of your body fat, you know, how much of your body is, and, you know, like, I don't know what good percentages are, guys, you know, we're supposed to be like under 10. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's not talk about that, but... The other way is they put you in a pool, and they weigh you underwater, and that actually, I don't know, the fat floats or whatever, and so that is a way that they can do that. They make you hold your breath, and they go underwater. Well, he came up with his new way, and I like that. He says, go into the mirror, get a stopwatch, stomp your foot really hard, and start the stopwatch, and when everything stops moving, stop the stopwatch. So I like that concept. I don't know where the math comes in, and I don't know how you figure it out from there. But he was probably a little chubby like me, and it was funny to hear him say that anyway, when the parts stopped moving. What does that have to do with the message? I just wanted to slide a joke in, that's all. So there it is. But as we look at our life, the word increase, let's look at, I don't have a lot of verses for you. When we come back, we're just going to talk particularly about the wisdom and the stature, and you can see it kind of broken down on the piece of paper there. But a couple other verses for stature. This one's in 1 Thessalonians, or for increase. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I like that. More love, right? We sang that. More love. I find it significant, and maybe there's a principle somewhere in there, that may the Lord make your love increase. And it's amazing how in this process, God partners with our human effort. Our growth ought to be supernatural, meaning I do natural things and God does super things, and together it is supernatural. Because there's a whole lot of people that believe in self-will and self-empowerment and all of those things. And there is such thing as self-discipline. And there is a principle that as I draw near unto God, he draws near unto me. I step, he steps. But we must recognize that it is God, as we walk in obedience, that does something in us. And the moment we start only relying on ourselves, we're in trouble. That's why we sang, I surrender, you know, arms high and heart abandoned, that only God can do these things in me. More love. Maybe similar, this is in Luke 17. This is the disciples when they said, increase our faith. I find it interesting that here's what precedes. What made the disciples say that one line prayer? Here's what made them say it. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. This is Jesus' teaching. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, 7 times come back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Did you catch that? Where did that prayer come from? When Jesus told them really hard truth. Forgive everybody all the time. Right? On all the things in their lives, you know, go heal the sick, and you know, go open blind eyes and cast out demons. The one thing that made them cry out, increase our faith, is forgive everybody all the time. And God has said some pretty hard things and some things that we often try to ignore. And we need the Lord to increase our faith so that we're walking in obedience with him. So how about you? Are we going to keep advancing and keep growing? All right, let's get to the idea. The two words that are laid out in there are wisdom and stature. Wisdom. Let's talk about wisdom. We are meant to increase. Bring on the increase in wisdom. You'll see I got 3 words written out there. I got the idea of knowledge. I have the idea of skill. And I have the idea of putting into practice, okay, application are the 3 things that I think, on one level, knowledge, right? Knowledge. It's already evident that that happened in Jesus' life. At 12 years old, he had the Torah memorized. At 12 years old, I don't believe God just downloaded the Bible into Jesus' head. I believe he devoted himself to study. He was human just like we were, and he had to use his brain power and his muscles to actually figure it out. That's what I believe. And I think that's right, because I'm always right. Right, honey? Can I get an amen? I didn't get anything. She's always right. And I'm always right because I just agree with her, because that's easier. So we see the example of Jesus. I believe he devoted his life to learning. There's something about learning. And I just challenge you, as you look at your life, are you learning? Are you learning? I know some of you didn't like school. Some of you didn't like, I'm even challenging myself and both Pastor Mike and I have even been talking about, you know, we need some continued education. I mean, because we both went and we got our master's degree, but then you get away from that, and you know what? I don't stretch myself academically and intellectually like I used to. You know, and I need to do that. And that's not going to be the same for everyone. You know, some of you are not going to be able to read a new book every month, but you ought to be reading something. You ought to be studying something. Any Jeopardy fans in here? There's a couple, those are all the intelligent people. And Trivia Pursuit, right? You like those things. You like to test your knowledge. And then how many of you just downright hate that show? That's the most boring game show that was ever created. Why would they ask stupid questions that I don't know the answer to? Yes, and that's everybody else, right? And yet, I am challenging you. How are you learning? And you'll see on the sheet there. You know, begin to pray about, you know, what are some books that I could read? And they don't all have to be spiritual books. You should be reading some spiritual books, But you know, if there are things that are that interest you and areas to expand your knowledge, you ought to be advancing and increasing in your knowledge. Do we have to get dumber as we get old? You have wisdom, but if you don't keep pushing yourself, if you don't keep planning yourself, it does get harder to remember things. It does get harder to teach an old dog new tricks and all of those kind of things. And I'm starting to identify with the old dogs more than I am the puppies, all right? So this old dog's telling you I need to learn some new tricks, all right? Which brings me to the idea, I should make sure I look at my sheet and what questions. You know, what will you study this year? You know, what will you, you know, beyond just reading a book, it's amazing how much we have on the internet, with the internet today, with all this information, and yet I feel like we're dumber than ever. How does that happen? I mean, we don't even need encyclopedias because we have Wikipedia. You tell our kids, did you know all that information on the internet used to be in books? But now you just Google it and there it is. And if it's on the internet, it's true, right? You know, I filled out the sheet for myself and I got a list of books that are there. What will you study this year? I got a couple things there. I want to study the idea. I want to study church planning and find all the information and all of those kind of things. Talk to individuals that are experts in that area and how that works. I got Old Testament prophets, something I don't know real well. Let's face it, how many of you know the minor prophets very well? I've always said, I want to know more about these guys, Micah and Habakkuk and all of those kind of things. And so, I want to dig in there a little more. And I have books and resources and things that I can look at. So I have that on my list. But then probably more importantly and most importantly is in our knowledge of God's Word, right? Yep. So what plan do you have? How exactly do I ask it? What plan do you have for knowing God through His Word? Now, you know, it's not just enough to know. I'm going to move on from there and talk about knowing. But it begins with knowing. It begins with coming in contact with His Word. You know, so, you know, part of that's being in church. Maybe it's a little thing like, you know what, I'm going to start taking notes during the sermon. Or maybe I'm going to start coming to Wednesday nights. It's reading your Bible apart from church. Whoa. Maybe you ought to get you one of those books. Maybe you ought to open that five that you have. Whatever it might be. You know, what is the plan that you have for knowing God's Word? I mean, we talk about it and we pretend that we're all doing it, but I know the truth because I know my own struggles. Maybe you got it all figured out. But I think I talk a good talk, and I'm not so sure that we're really knowing God's Word. I continually pray, God, give me a love for your Word. I don't know why I love Candy Crush so much. Why can't I love your Word that much? I've prayed that prayer, I promise you.
What's Candy Crush?
She's old.
It's a phone game where you move candy around and you beat the level. I'm like on level 1,020, which is nothing to be proud of, which is a lot. I actually haven't played it for a couple months. I have new addictions now instead of that one. But I would say it's some kind of spiritual renewal, but it's not true. It's not true. I've been playing the Boggle game instead. I like that one. Anyway, we'll pretend that one sharpens my mind better than Candy Crush. Anyway, what plan do you have? And you might not be able to answer those questions just sitting here right now. Take this worksheet home. Take it into your prayer closet. Who has that anymore, right? But take it to the Lord. And I believe He could speak to you now, but I believe He can just start a conversation. So wisdom being knowledge, I believe Jesus did that, but also skill. Remember the Old Testament concept of wisdom? The very first time we kind of see the word wisdom show up is when God was having the tabernacle built, and He set aside those who were skilled specifically And you can go look it up. They have weird names like Oliab and stuff like that. But they were skilled at working with the gold. And they were skilled at working. And it's like skill in living is like the original definition, Hebrew definition of the word wisdom. Is the idea of the abilities that we have, the skills that are in our life. I believe Jesus learned in those 18 years how to be a carpenter. He was Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. Every inclination and evidence that we have is that Joseph died somewhere in these 18 years. Maybe you have never thought about that, but Joseph is not mentioned when Jesus is 30 years old and on. And so Jesus would have continued the family business. He would have been the breadwinner of his home because he learned a skill and did his best. I don't think God just downloaded in him, carpenter, done. No, he had to hit his thumb a few times, and he had to have a few funny-looking nightstands and until he finally perfected the abilities and the calling that was on his life. And so what about you? Have you stretched yourself to learn some new skills? Push yourself. Learn something new this year. I wrote on my sheet, and I don't know how I like it, but I wrote, I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know the right word, but I want to try to expand my learning on how to be a handyman around my house. I must confess, it's a lot easier to call Carl. And Carl has helped me with a lot of things. And I'll have to know my limits and those kind of things, but I can't live my whole life being afraid of tools. So I might need to actually pick one up every now and then. Anyway, it's on my sheet. We'll see. You know, maybe God will speak to me and say it's okay. But you know, learning some new skills in your life. Why don't you learn something new? Learn something new. And then the next question after that is what skills do you need to develop? You know, there are things that you once knew. Or things that you're currently using, how do you develop those skills in your life? How do you increase those? I mean, I have on my paper the idea of preaching. Now, I believe in the anointing of God, and I believe in God's ability to be there, but I can't just be happy with status quo. I want God to increase using my ability to communicate. How can I be the best communicator that God's called me to be? And there's ways to study that and learn that and develop that as you go. And if you've followed me through the years, you've seen that there's been growth in that area, even if it's, you know, I used to just chicken scratch my notes on a piece of paper. Now I have typed outlines. I used to actually have to look at my outlines. Now, I only have to look at it every now and then. And those are ways that I pushed myself that I want to be the best communicator that I can. I mean, I could have just kept to, and I'm not saying I was ever a bad communicator, but those are just little things in the progress of life that I want to advance in those areas. You know, I want to... You know, I love music. I want to advance in those areas. One of them that I have on here is developing, I believe, is writing. That's one thing that God's really speaking to me about this year. There's a few things that God's really called me to write, and I've been saying forever, one of these days I'm going to write a book, and one of these days I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You know what? I need to develop those skills. And I'm tired of saying someday. Today is the day. And how about you in your life? What is it you need to develop? God's put those things in you, not just so they can just sit in some kind of back seat, but God wants those things to continue to advance in your life so that he can use them. And then, the last question, maybe kind of related to that one on there, is, but what skills are you currently not using that you could be using? You know, even when it comes to serving the Lord or serving your family or, you know, what is it that you, you know. What is it? So ask the Lord those questions. So wisdom, defining that as knowledge, defining that as skill, but ultimately the bottom line definition of wisdom, and I take this one from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And then the rains came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood and the house on the sand went. It's a theological term right there. Write that down.
Okay.
Jesus said, they both heard what was spoken. They heard the teaching. The difference was the wise man was the one who put it into practice. So Jesus on his own, defining wisdom for us in red letters in the Sermon on the Mount, is those who take what they've heard and what they know, what they've seen with their eyes, whatever it might be, and actually put it into practice, application, walk it out, living it out. What does that look like in your life? I don't like this verse, but I always apologize and say I didn't write it, so don't get mad at me. James 4:17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Dun, dun, dun. That word, ought. 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 Say it. Ought. It's the things we know. I think one time I tried to develop a list of, you know, top 10 things we know, and yet it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change our action. It doesn't change our behavior. Things like there's no such thing as a short trip to Walmart. And yet I'm just going to run in. It never happens, right? There's no such thing as a short trip to Gary, for you, no matter how much I yell at the TV, it will not change the outcome of a sporting event. And yet you try, right? It's the things that we know, and yet it doesn't change our behavior. And yet spiritually and all of these things that we're talking about, what are the things that we know, the oughts of our life? Most of the time, I don't have to think too far and too hard to come up with, you know what? I know this is what the Word says. I know this is what God wants. I know, and yet, this is me. And we identify the gaps in our life. And God is calling us to close the gaps between what we know and what we are. And like Jesus, to find ourselves obedience in obedience. That's a big question, maybe one of the biggest on the piece of paper that might take you some time. But what are the oughts in your life that God's calling you to? The idea of application, what have you been putting off? I am the king of procrastination. I told you the idea of writing, I've been putting that off forever. What is it you've been putting off in your life? What is it when you get honest with yourself, you've been saying, someday I'm going to lose some weight. Someday. Someday, I'm going to be nice to my wife. Someday, someday. Well, today is the day. That's an ought, and there's an enemy who loves procrastination. He'll let you say someday as all day. He'll let you say someday all the way to the grave and all of the undone that exists in our life. I'm preaching to me, all right? So, I hurt right now. And what changes do you know you need? They're all related, but maybe just asking it a little bit different each way will get you thinking. So this is the idea of to keep advancing, to increase in wisdom. The second part of that says was in stature. That is translated maybe a couple different ways, stature or maturity or aging. But it's the idea of growing up. I mean, let's face it, Jesus grew up in that time period. He physically got taller. But how do we grow up? I have been guilty of having I'm never going to grow up mentality, and there's some part of that can be healthy. You know, there's some part of that in, you know, keeping your fun side and your you know, your I get that, And yet, we're living in a generation where our young people are not growing up. Where they're living... It's amazing how many people are in their 30s and are just now trying to figure out life. Right? Right? They making all of their mistakes and they're finally realizing that doesn't work. Maybe it's time to start taking responsibility for myself. Maybe it's time to actually take responsibility for my family. That's the generation we're living in. And it's not healthy and it's not good. And it ought to be different for the body of Christ. We ought to be growing up. You know, so I have broke this down, the idea of how do we grow up physically, how do we grow up mentally, and how do we grow up emotionally. I think these are all ways that we develop. And I'm challenging you, don't think you're done. I don't care how old you are. You're never done developing in those areas. You ought to be like Jesus, your summary verse, increasing to keep advancing in those areas. In fact, you know, the one that's hard is the physical one. Because let's be honest, you were born dying. You were born with an expiration date. We live in this fallen world that the moment we're born, our body is subjected to decay. You know, so this idea of increasing in the physical realm, it's an uphill battle. It really is. You know, you could do some, I thought about giving you a bunch of mumbo jumbo stuff, but I'll let you do it on your own. But you know, you can go on the internet and you can see different activities that either add years to your life or subtract years to your life. Anybody ever seen those things? You know, if you'll just eat broccoli every day, you can add 3 years to your life. Or if you can, you know, smoking is always one that they put on there. If you stop smoking, you'll add 15 years to your life. You know, all of those things that are out there, you know that are there. And so what are those things? What about your lifestyle choices? And when it comes to your physicality, there's an idea. It is an uphill battle that we are trying to protect life, extend life, preserve life, be stewards of the life that we have. And I know I'm preaching to myself when it comes to my own physical self. How do I make choices that are best for preserving that life and taking care of the life that I've been given? And you know, these are one of these things that most of us have a pretty good education. It's just the someday that gets us. It's just the... you know, we'll just let it exist out there as some kind of ought. So what are some unhealthy lifestyle choices that need to change? I have on my notes, you know, I'm not talking about, and I know some of you are going to do this, you're going to get into some kind of fad diet or short-term diet with the new year, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to lose this amount, and those kind of type. I guess that's fine and all, but I'm really talking about, you know, how do we just make lifestyle changes? So I've really trying to take that approach, you know, this year. You know, I know the things. I need to eat less fast food. I need to stop eating late at night, and I need to eat balanced meals with you know, fruits and vegetables and not junk food and all of those things. You know that, don't you? I know that. But I don't do it. What's your plan for a healthier diet this year? I got, you know, portion control, moderation, more healthy options. I know these things. And I am. I'm saying it out loud. I'm making a commitment that I want to do that for the new year. Okay? I want to do that for myself and for my health. I know that will let me live longer. That will give me a healthier heart. That'll give me a healthier mind. It'll, you know, God didn't just make us spirit. So often we only touch on the spiritual in church, but God made us holistic beings. In fact, if I can get into some theology for you, you know, going all the way back to Deuteronomy, so love the Lord your God with all your heart in your mind and your soul, right? A lot of people have taken, and there's nothing wrong with that, there's like three different ideas, right? I'll let you kind of pick and choose here, but there's three different ideas about the nature of man. And the idea is, one is, let me explain them before you just look at me confused. Actually, I kind of like the confused look. That's fun. There is the three-part nature of man. And there's all gonna, every one of them is going to make sense to you, okay? There's the three-part nature of man that says that there's spirit and there's flesh, and in the middle exists the soul. Okay? And really a lot of preaching and teaching has centered around those ideas. And I think there's scriptures to back that up. But I will tell you this, there's a whole lot about that that's more Sigmund Freud than it is Bible. I'm just saying. He talks about ego and the id and the superego and all of those kind of things. And maybe even as messed up as he was onto some kind of truth there, whatever that is. But a lot of people have said, that's it. That's the only way that it is. Now, you can get to the New Testament and you can... And you have a harder time finding more evidence for the soul, but that Paul obviously talks about the spirit and the flesh, right? I mean, because when we teach the spirit and the flesh, we teach there's the spirit, there's the flesh and the soul, the mind, will, and emotions, fights in between those two. This is where we make the choices. But Paul really talks about the spirit and flesh. They're contrary one to another. Galatians chapter 5, you know, if I sow to the spirit, I'm going to get life, and if I sow to the flesh, I'm going to get destruction and those kind of things that are there. Okay, so there's some biblical evidence for that. But if you actually get into a Hebrew mindset and a Jewish mindset, they wouldn't have really bought into any of those. You know, let's go back to the origin of their thinking. Why did God give that command in that way? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Why did he give it in that way? The Jewish or Hebrew mindset would have been a more holistic approach, that God was covering all the aspects of who we are, saying that they are all connected and they are all important. Once again, that word being all, that nothing is left out. We don't only love God with our spirits. That's not the only place, but we love God with our bodies. We love God with our thoughts and with our minds, and that we are a whole being. So I think there's room for all of those ideas. I think they're all there in scriptures. But I just want to challenge you with that thought, that we are all encompassed. And so I don't think it's wrong to be in church and talk about that we need to be good stewards of the bodies and the life that God has given us. And so what does that look like in our lives? You see the questions that are there. Healthier diet. You're planning for increased physical activity this year. You want to lose weight. Less calories, healthier calories, more exercise. You know what it is, but doing it is a little bit harder. And even for those maybe who don't even struggle with weight, but just healthy well-being, physical activity is good for you. Does a body good? And we need that. We need that in our lives. So I've been in talks with a friend who's, him and I talk about some of our same physical struggles. We're talking about maybe joining the gym or having a partnership of doing exercise together, even if it's just walking on a treadmill or whatever it may be. I want to be healthier. I've seen too much death and destruction that comes from being unhealthy, and I don't want to be another statistic. I mean, I know I'm going to heaven and all of that, but that doesn't seem like the right thing to just say I'm going to get there sooner. Sometimes with my choices, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, right? All right, so that's the physical. Let's talk about the mental. Identifying stinking thinking. I know I'm stealing that from every other preacher or Joyce Myers or whatever those might be. But stinking thinking, that's just the stuff that you know is wrong way of thinking in your head. We know, and yet it just gets stuck there. And somehow we believe it's true, and somehow we believe it's right, and somehow we let it mess us up, change our moods. Because we're going to go from the mentally to the emotionally, but they're really connected. The mental will mess with the emotional. And so we have to start with, what is it that we believe? What is it that we're dwelling on? Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are true, that's the filter that we're called to in our lives. We don't line up with how we're feeling about things. We line up with the truth of God's word. The devil is the father of lies. He will deceive you and get you to believe you're no good, you're nothing. He'll get you to believe otherwise. So what are some areas of stinking thinking in your life? You know, you talk about lust. You talk about worthlessness. You talk about negativity. Oh, wait, that's my list. You talk about, you know, what's on my notes? I shouldn't read from my list. Being judgmental and legalistic. Being, or the other side, justifying sin. It's amazing what we can talk ourselves into. Identifying every lie of the enemy. And then really, the idea is, it's as simple as you replace the lies with the truth. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're going to change. You just have to draw a line and say, this is truth. Whether I feel it, this is truth. I am God's beloved son, whom he loves me. What truth do you struggle with believing? Maybe you need to find some scriptures that speak to the truth that you're having trouble with. And let that become the meditation of your heart and of your mind. But then I have on here, and I can preach all day on this particular because I believe in what I call practicing the presence of God. An awareness of God's presence. You know, Jacob said, surely God was in this place and I was not aware. God is in every moment. He's in us. And yet we live in off-duty mode and untuned in to God's presence. So how can we develop a better awareness of God in your everyday life? I've used the example before of my kids and I play, I'm done playing the game, but they're still playing the game banana. Whenever you see a yellow vehicle, you punch them and you say banana. And the moment you start playing that game, it's amazing how many yellow vehicles there are. I never knew there were so many yellow vehicles in all the world. And yet that whole awareness just opens your eyes, right? Anybody ever had one of those awareness things? I had that happen to me. We're probably going 6 years back. Somebody challenged me on a grammar thing that I was doing continually. And they made it aware to me. And no, not that one. This is a different one. This one was, and you hear preachers do it all the time, I don't know where you're at. Where are you at? That is improper grammar because that is a preposition that's not been resolved. You can't end a sentence with a preposition. I don't know where you are would be or where you're at tonight. You have to end that with something. Pastor Mike does it all the time. But I can't do it anymore because somebody brought awareness to me, and now I can't even do it anymore because it just messes with me. And now I hear somebody else do it. And I'm like, he's not supposed to do that. Anyway. That's not the worst thing. Nobody's going to hell for saying, where are you at? But I just messed with you, so that was fun. May you be tortured as I have been. But here's the idea I have for the new year. I'm just going to give you mine. I'm thinking something on my phone. I'm pretty sure I can set a vibrating warning because I seem to always have my phone. So during the waking hours, I'm going to have it just vibrate a little message to me on every hour. And in that hour, that's the reminder to pray. If I'm available, maybe read a passage of scripture during that time. No, let's face it, not at every hour are you able to do that. But just that little vibrating in that moment, no matter what I'm doing, to just all of a sudden think about the Lord. I think that's going to work for me. My phone is something that's always either in my pocket or in my hand. And that little reminder, maybe it'll get annoying, but I don't think so. Say, hey. Hey, Lord, I'm still here. You're still here. Let's talk. I don't know. That's just a thought I had. And then I'm running out of time, so let's talk about emotionally. What negative emotions do you consistently battle? Remember, they're all connected to our thoughts, but you know, feelings of worthlessness, depression, frustration, all of those things that really, they cripple us and they keep us from the positive emotions that ought to come from truth. What would you like to see increase? You know, we sang, joy unspeakable that won't go away. I want that to be the testimony of my life. I want joy unspeakable that is always present and always there. I have a little exercise for you doing the fruit of the Spirit inventory. I don't know if you've ever done that, but just on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high. We don't have time to do it right here, right now, but what's the love factor in your life? Love all the way to self-control. You see the list on there. That's a good thing to do once a week. It's a good thing to do once a day. And all of a sudden you bring awareness. You know what? I'm a little impatient right now. I'm only scoring a 4 in that category. Lord, help me. Right? And so I hope piece of paper, I hope the Word of God, more importantly than a piece of paper, will help you begin to ask some of these questions. You know, next year. I thought I messed up, but I didn't. Next year, we'll talk about relationally. We'll talk about growing in favor with God and in favor with others, loving God and loving others. But part of why God came is to change us. And there is a sin and enemy and self that unfortunately wins a lot of that battle. And we need to start engaging in that battle and to keep advancing. We ought to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been before. We ought to be physically and mentally, emotionally better off than we've ever been before, because the call in our life is to keep advancing. The word keep advancing was the idea of almost like a pioneer, cutting down trees, expanding to new territories, continually moving, continually discovering, continually growing. That ought to be the testimony of our lives. It ought to be, like Jesus, the summary of our lives. For 18 years, over half of his life, he increased in wisdom and stature. So turn your desire into action, make a plan, set a goal, keep advancing, bring on the increase. That's my motivational cheer at the end. How many say, I want to increase? Bring it on, Lord. Lord, you see our hearts and you see our hands. Lord, I just pray for each one. This is a message that I hope continues in the course of the week and the continuing of our thoughts and our prayers. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit. We don't want our ideas, like Penny said in that word. We don't want what we want. We want what you want. And so, God, speak to our hearts about your vision for our lives. Speak to our hearts what it looks like to advance, to increase, and to grow. And ultimately, God, the call is to be more like you. So, Lord, we give you ourselves. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next year.